From the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., this is Update One, the club's official podcast. It features newsworthy stories originating from the NPC facilities, as well as broader topics related to journalism, communications, press freedom, and transparency.
I'm Adam Cano here in Colorado Springs at the Space Symposium, an annual industry-focused event hosted by the nonprofit Space Foundation. My guest today is Mike Gruss, Chief Content and Strategy Officer for Space News, an industry media outlet. Mike, welcome to Update One.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with you. A little bit of background on your career as a journalist.
Sure. This is my second time at Space News. I was previously here from 2013 to 2016, and I've been in journalism about 25 years. Worked at newspapers in Fort Wayne in Indiana, and then more recently led a stable of publications over at Sightline Media Group.
Tell us a little bit about Space News. Who are your readers, and what do you cover?
Sure. Our readers are space industry professionals. We have been around since 1989. We cover the business, the politics, and the technology of space, mostly from Washington, D.C., but really all over the world.
And how many journalists do you have here at Space Symposium, and what forms are you creating content?
Sure. All over. We have five journalists here on board today. We have, we're printing out a show daily, which I have in my hands right now. It's about 24 pages. We're producing a podcast each morning, and we also have electronic newsletters that are going out each day.
Before we talk about the news here in Colorado Springs, let's briefly touch on the event itself and ones like it. From your perspective, what is the value of trade shows like this one?
Yeah, I mean, this. I was with someone else earlier today, and they described this as the Super Bowl of space conferences, which I don't think is too much of an exaggeration. I mean, like I said, when I've been in Space News previously. I covered national security space. This is the big conference. This is the big week to understand what's happening in space with the military, just like AUSA is that week for the Army, or the other shows are for the other services. So it's a huge value. There's so much of the space industry here in Colorado, around the country. They all come. It's a great, you see all sorts of deals announced here. So it's a great place to set the tone for the next 12 months and to really, as a journalist, to really understand what folks' priorities are going to be.
Yeah, so I mean, we're recording this midweek. There's obviously been some news flow. Curious as to what has caught your eye. I guess why don't we start first on the commercial side. Yeah. A lot of disruptive companies have come in, challenged the role of traditional prime contractors. Yeah. So what have you noticed?
Sure. I mean, I think there's a couple things. There's obviously a lot of interest from commercial companies to get into defense because there's a thinking that there will be money from the defense budget, which I think we just heard earlier this week could be $1 trillion. There's a lot of emphasis there. Then obviously on Golden Dome, this space-based interceptor shield. There is a lot of talk about the moon as lunar economy that didn't exist not too long ago. So there's that. And I think, what I would say probably that has been most true is there's really a sense of optimism among these companies that the space economy is here. It's going to continue to grow despite what's happening kind of around the world and other sectors. And that there's opportunity to win some contracts and advance their science.
What about the military side? I know the head of the Space Force spoke this morning. There's a lot of talk about China and other peer adversaries.
Yeah, I think from a military perspective, what's been most interesting to me is probably over the last, 10, 12 years, how each year I made the mistake earlier of saying that maybe the rhetoric has ramped up, but it's not really the rhetoric. It's just the actions in space are changing. And so a lot about how space is legitimately a warfighting campaign. I think that there's been a lot of talk about what China has been doing, what Russia has been doing, and also, a very stark message from some of the Space Force leaders about what kind of weapons are needed in space, which is something that was, almost unheard of, like I said, a decade ago.
You talked about having, I think you said, five reporters here. a lot of speakers during the day, hundreds of exhibitors attending as well. They all obviously want to get their word out. How do you decide how to deploy folks here?
Yeah, that's always complicated, and I think it's how can we cover as much as we can without exhausting the team that we have here. You know, I think the big thing we're looking for is where is their news? Where is their nuance that maybe there hasn't been in the past? Where is there something that will surprise our readers that we haven't heard before? Or, you know, you asked why Symposium is such a big deal, and part of it is because everyone's here and there's an opportunity to talk to leaders in the commercial space industry that maybe we wouldn't have a chance to sit down with otherwise. And so you can hear from them firsthand what's happening in their factories or in their business.
Do you notice, given that there has been a number of disruptors that have come into the industry, a change in sort of how they relate to the media compared to perhaps more traditional contractors?
Yes. You know, on a very basic level, sure. Like, am I texting with sources now? And maybe I wasn't, you know, 10 years ago? Yes, of course. Do I receive as many press releases? Maybe not, but I think there's still folks who are reaching out in a whole host of ways. I think maybe what they're looking for is different, that they want to tell stories differently, and they want to have an opportunity to be on a podcast, be on part of a webinar. They want, they want to maybe tell their story a little bit more, and I think I'd also say they're thinking about their story a little bit more in that way, as opposed to just we reached this milestone on this date, and please write a story about it.
And what about on the government side? I mean, I know General Saltzman took questions this morning, which was nice, but have you noticed any sort of difference between the change administrations in terms of the sources that you deal with, whether it's civilian or military?
I think there's, I think there's naturally been caution from across. I don't think this is unique to space, but there's been caution in how sources and public relations teams deal with the media right now. I think because there may be questions about the nuances and the details of how the Trump administration's policies are going to be implemented, that they don't feel like they have answers and they're maybe afraid to speak otherwise. And so, yeah, I think there is naturally a lot of caution right now. I think we are an organization that's been around for 35 plus years. I think our reporters are incredibly experienced and well-trusted, and so I think we still find a way to get that story out, and that's our job, quite frankly.
You mentioned public relations. Half the members of the National Press Club roughly are communicator members rather than journalist members. What do PR practitioners do that really kind of help you and your team, and is there something you wish they did differently or better?
I think for an event like this, one thing that is incredibly helpful is when they help forecast what to expect. Hey, here are the themes we're hearing. Here's what we're thinking about going into it. I think that's incredibly helpful. I will say broadly, I think there's been an over-reliance on embargoes within the public relations media industry in years past. I think they're often too one-sided and not necessary. But I think for an event like this where, for example, our organization is incredibly swamped to know that, hey, we're going to announce this on Monday, and knowing 2 weeks out and giving us an opportunity to think about it, to let it simmer, to ask good questions, to write a story ahead of time, and really give it the attention it deserves. I think that's super helpful.
Yeah, you've been in the business a long time. Any other sort of broad trends that you've noticed in terms of the dynamic between journalists and the PR community and then your sources?
I think there's a couple that I don't like. I mean, I'll tell you one, which is I think there's too much reliance on email, which I understand, and I think that goes both ways, too. I think reporters rely on email too much, and I think PR folks do, too. And, that's probably the Gen X in me speaking and just saying, like, hey, I want people to pick up the phone and chat. But I think there are better, truer answers given that way. I am incredibly frustrated by this move toward statements from companies. Companies are not people, despite what the Supreme Court might say. And I think if a company trusts its spokespeople, they should be willing to say, put their name on the record with a statement.
Mike, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Mike Roos is Chief Content and Strategy Officer for Space News. You can follow his coverage on spacenews.com and in print for Update One in Colorado Springs. I'm Adam Cano.
You have been listening to Update One, the official podcast of the National Press Club, the world's leading professional organization for journalists and a vigorous advocate of press freedom worldwide. If you have any questions or comments about Update One, send an email to updateonepodcast@gmail.com.